Welcome to the National Awakening Conference Call. I'm Bob Knight, Senior Fellow with STAND, and here's your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, thanks so much again, everybody, for joining us. The lines are full already because we've got a very, very special guest on, somebody that I have had the privilege of working with now for several years, who heads up American Family Association, American Family Radio, and all of the attendant ministries and efforts that grow out of that, Tim Wildman. So I'm going to bring him on in a second, but first, as always, let's open it up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful country that we have. Lord, we are beset on so many sides by problems. Just had a terrible thing happen down in Memphis. It has the whole country talking and kind of on Tinder hooks, wanting to resolve this issue as quickly as possible, but wondering whether it's going to lead to violence. Our borders are being flooded. First, the southern border, and now it appears that the northern border is having similar problems and may become another source of the influx of people into our country illegally. We got inflation raging. We got a problem that has got a lot of Americans on edge and wondering whether it might touch their lives. And Lord, in spite of all of that, we have this wonderful country that you've given us, that our founding fathers bequeathed to us, this constitutional republic, and we want to preserve it. Everybody on this call has that desire. Our guest speaker today has that desire. And Lord, we don't know how to get that done without your help, and we would be fools to think we could. So we're asking you to help us save our country. Save our country as a Judeo-Christian nation, a nation rooted and grounded in faith in God, a nation where families, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers can thrive without feeling like they are somehow weird because they're not practicing homosexuality, where our children can go to school without being indoctrinated with a lot of sexual and racial ideology, and Lord God, where our police officers can do their job, do it with honor, with integrity, without being made to feel like they're enemies of people. And so, Lord, we just ask you to move in a mighty way for an awakening in this country, that you would make us the nation that pleases you, a nation whose God is the Lord. You said righteousness exalts a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. We want to be a nation that pleases you. We want to be a nation that is under your blessing, not a nation in rebellion against God. We abort over 1 million babies a year, and there are people who've now come to a point where they celebrate that as if it's some wonderful thing that they're doing. And so, Lord, we need divine intervention. We need your help. And we know that we are asking, believing that we are going to get it, that it's already happening in a variety of ways. American Family Radio is a manifestation of your grace and mercy. American Family Association is. Tim Wildman and his family and Brother Don and the founding of that network are all manifestations of your effort to call America to be who we ought to be rather than who many would have us be. So, Lord, we commit this nation into your loving care. These leaders on this call, Brother Tim and all that he is doing as he leads this organization of American Family Association, American Family Radio, and, Lord, all those patriots across the country who are trying to help our country secure its future as a constitutional republic, a land of freedom and opportunity and hope. And, Lord, may it come to pass that when our grandchildren and great-grandchildren look back at this moment, that they are pleased that we took a stand and that they, therefore, stand in liberty. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, folks, this is the gentleman that runs the network that I work in. He runs it. He is a tremendous leader and has been on the front lines of the battle to save this nation for some time, so much so that you all probably know that the Southern Poverty Law Center has actually dubbed them a hate group, I mean, which is just one of the most preposterous things imaginable, but unfortunately, they've been given that kind of cachet by the mainstream media, but we know it's a lie out of a pit of hell. There's not a more decent and honorable and loving organization that I've ever worked with, than American Family Association and American Family Radio. And I'm godly proud and grateful to God to be a part of it. Tim, thank you so much. I know how busy your schedule is, and I really appreciate you taking time out to be with us. The floor is yours, my friend.
Well, hey, those are kind words, Bishop. And listen, we feel the same about you and your ministry in terms of your integrity and the great experiences we've had over the years and decade, I guess now or longer. I know you've known my father, Don Wildman, for two decades or so. And but listen, I get your emails just like everybody listening right now. I get your emails, so I keep up with your ministry. And I think every week I'm reminded, you know, Bishop Jackson is encouraging believers all over the country to appeal to Almighty God on a daily basis for our families and for the gospel in America and for our, as you said earlier, our constitutional republic, which we need to be reminded. Who was it? Was it Ben Franklin that said, you know, we give you a republic if you can keep it? I'm paraphrasing now, but you know, our future for our children and our grandchildren, you know, that motivates us. Everybody listening to this call, I'm guessing most folks listening to this call are, you know, 50 up, 60 up. So, you know, we passed the ninth hole, you know, of life. So if you know of a golf metaphor there, but we're looking, you got 18 holes in golf. Okay. That's what I'm trying to say. So, we're on the back nine, but we're looking at the future of our country, and we're going for our children and our grandchildren and our posterity. We want to preserve this great land we call America, you know, so that it doesn't, you know, go away, so that it doesn't collapse. Because as I've said, and I'm going to write a book someday, I hadn't patented this statement yet, but there's nowhere else to sail to, okay? I'm not looking out. We can't go start over somewhere. We've got to preserve and restore America, and oftentimes it doesn't look good, but, you know, we get up every day and we fight for truth like you do, Bishop, and everybody listening to this call. And then guess what? We get up the next day and we fight for truth. And then we get up the next day and we fight for truth. My dad used to have a saying, and it's not original with him, but he would use this often. Somebody would say, "Well, what have you been doing, Don?" And he would say, "Well, I'm just keeping on, keeping on." And what he meant by that was an everyday fight, weekly, yearly, for what is right, what is true, for the gospel, for our freedoms, for our way of life. And that's why I'm proud to stand with you, Bishop, and everybody listening to this call. What we're doing here at American Family Association and American Family Radio and our ministry, we've been doing since 1977. That's when my dad started. My dad was a Methodist minister, and he was a Methodist minister. He had served churches for 8 years when God spoke to him one night. And he that isn't given to saying that every day, like some folks are. But he said God spoke to him and said, "You need to leave the pulpit, and you need to form an organization to give leadership in the Christian community on how to respond to this godliness that's going on across America." That's basically the message that my dad received when he was pastoring the South Haven First United Methodist Church in the Christmas holidays in 1976. That's when God spoke to him. My dad announced he was leaving the pulpit, and guess what? There was no income, you know, except for my dad. My dad had an entrepreneurial spirit, so he wrote inspirational books that he sold himself to bookstores back in that day when you could do that. And he also led tours to the Holy Land and to Europe. So he had some outside income, but the regular dependable income from the church was not there any longer. And you know what we had? Dad worked out of our home, and he had an offset machine and a telephone, basically, if you know what an offset machine is, to print newsletters. And he began to do that And a couple things happened along the way. A miracle checks arrived in the mail that met the exact to the dollar amount that he needed to pay the pay the printer or pay the bills early on to keep going. He got a couple of phone calls from people who out of the blue, I read your story in the paper, Don, and God speaking to me to help you. Well, all that and the faithfulness of my dad to be tenacious and to honor God's calling birthed what was then the National Federation for Decency, which became the American Family Association, which birthed the American Family Radio Network. And we have 181 radio stations, and Bishop, your show's on noon to one every day, all across the network, all across the country, noon to one Central Time on American Family Radio. So what my dad answered the call in 1977 and said yes to God. You can see the fruits of that today. We reach, you know, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that we reach probably as many people in the Christian community as 90% of the ministries in this country are. So there may be a handful that reach more people on a daily basis than we do. And we try to use that influence for good, for righteousness. And part of that's your show, Bishop, and all the news and information and action requests that we have. We have also a new part of our ministry that we've added the last couple of years called the iVoter Guide. Many of your listeners are familiar with the iVoter Guide, which is we do voter analysis of candidates. And more than just, remember those old voter guides we used to get with 10 questions, you know, where candidates could answer them and be slippery about how they answered them. We do detailed questionnaires for candidates all the way from governors to congressional races to sometimes even school boards, as much as we can with volunteers from around the country. We do where the candidates are getting their money from, so that we don't have people running for office who are double talking all the time. They're saying they believe one thing while they're taking money from an organization that believes another one. That happens sometimes. Trying to screen out the rhinos. So that's over 3 million people. I just asked Walker Wildman, my son, who's over this part of the ministry. I said, how many people accessed our voter guide last fall during the election season? He said over 3 million different users. So that's phenomenal. So anyway, we're trying to do what we can to change our country, preserve our country, to stand for the values that everybody on this phone call believes in. And you know what? We're not another thing you're not going to find us doing here at AFA is we're not going to compromise on what the Bible says about what's right and wrong. We're not going to equivocate. We're not going to apologize. We see so many, sadly, in the, especially in the, the mainline church, Protestant churches are gone. They're lost for the most part on the issue of the LGBTQ, except for there is separation going on. We see that with the United Methodist Church. They split over this issue. Those who believe in what the Bible says about human sexuality and those who don't. But we see that even creeping into the evangelical Christian church in America, this whole question of, should we compromise on what God says about human sexuality and marriage and family. And we're not going to. We're going to stand strong and proclaim the word of God. And so anyway, I don't know, I rambled a little bit there, Bishop, but I hope people understand we love you and we love all the folks who support you, because we're comrades here. We're together in this.
Amen, Tim. Amen. Well, look, folks, press *6 if there's any questions that you want to ask to Tim about AFA, AFR. Tim, I want to ask the first question, because it still bothers me, frankly, that the SPLC was actually working with the FBI. I don't know whether they still are. And listening to them, and they are a far-left extremist organization, and they
very
say,
rich.
They
got a lot of money. But I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. Is that why they're so influential, and are they still exercising influence?
Hey, by the way, I think when you're bringing up the we need to celebrate what happened with Mark Hauk. Is that his name?
Yes, Mark Hauk. Yes.
Hauk, the Catholic gentleman and pro-life gentleman in Pennsylvania who the FBI raided his house back in September. Everybody knows about this story, right?
Yeah.
Well, he won his court case yesterday, and he was acquitted of those charges of violating the FACE Act or whatever it was that the Merrick Garland and the FBI went after him. They brought 20, 25 agents into his house. Stormed his house. This is a man with seven children or something. All he did, his lawyer had volunteered to turn himself in when they called in that the FBI was interested in going after him. And they raided him anyway, raided his house anyway. It was horrible what happened to him. Well, he was acquitted by a jury yesterday of the charges that the FBI, or I guess the Department of Justice, brought against him. So we're praising God for that victory. He shouldn't have ever had to go through that, but I think that was the Justice Department of the United States trying to intimidate pro-lifers all over America, don't you, Bishop?
Yeah, that's all it was. It's sad, but that's turning the prosecutorial power of the United States government against people because they don't like what they stand for.
Yeah, this is why it was important that the Congress flip in the House of Representatives. I know that the conservatives didn't win as many seats as we wanted it to happen, but still the fact that the Republicans flipped the House, now we have, I think it's Jim Jordan of Ohio, who's been assigned the responsibility of getting at least bringing the spotlight to the how the federal government has been, especially under Biden, has been weaponized. It's been weaponized against conservatives and Christians. And if you need an example of that, just look at what happened to Mark and his family there. But back to your question about the Southern Poverty Law Center. I mentioned they're a very wealthy organization. They've got millions, I don't know, $30 million or so dollars, I read. This was like in a mainstream news source. I've forgotten what it was, but that they've got parked offshore in the Grand Caymans. This organization is based out of Montgomery, Alabama. It had a long history. It goes back to the Civil Rights Movement. They had a worthwhile mission when they first started, but then they drifted and drifted and drifted. I'm not saying they weren't made up of left-wingers to begin with, but their mission was noble, as I understand it. But then they switched over to they ran out of, they ran out of causes, ran out of things to complain about, so they made up stuff. So they just started making up stuff. And once you get on their hate group list, the Southern Poverty, they call it, here's how this works. Southern Poverty Law Center, it calls you a hate group. They rate you a hate group. And then in turn, the mainstream media, like the New York Times, the Washington Post, or NBC, or whoever, they look to the Southern Poverty Law Center, a far-left group, for a objective pronouncement of what other organizations are or are not. So, and then they requote it. So you'll have NBC or Washington Post, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, the American Family Association is a hate group. You see how this works? That gets generated all over the country and other news outlets and so forth and so on. In fact, I think if you go look at American Family Association, if you Google us, I think the first thing that comes up is our own website, which is good. But then Google lists the second thing, what the Southern Poverty Law Center has to say about us. And once you get on their hate group list, you can never get off of it. It's eternal. And there's nothing you can do to get off of it. And what they do is, it's the Southern Poverty Law Center, is they take things a lot of times out of context, or they say, well, you believe in the Bible, what the Bible says about homosexuality, for example. Therefore, you're a that's a hateful thing to say or to do. So, you know what? Yes, that does bother us in the sense that we're mischaracterized by the SPLC. On the other hand, I think a lot of especially fair-minded Americans and conservatives have caught on to their game and their shtick and how they work. And they even rated, weren't they the group that rated Dr. Ben Carson a hate group or something like that? Remember that?
Yes. And a number of others. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that hasn't deterred us. We're going to keep on. You know, you're going to be, if you're in this work, but you're doing the right thing, you're going to be called names and you're going to be unfairly maligned. And if that's going to, you know, make you fret at night, then you just probably don't need to do this kind of work, right? Amy, you've lived that for a long time.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly. If that's where you are, this is not what you want to be doing.
Yeah.
No.
Bless you. You need to, you know, find something, go to work at a soup kitchen or something. But if you're in this work that we're in, and there's nothing wrong with working at a soup kitchen, don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about if you're adverse to spiritual warfare and to people hurting your feelings, you don't need to be in this, in our movement. And of course, people listening to us right now they've known that for a long time, but we have to stand firm in the face of criticism and unfair criticism, I should say.
Well, we've got some callers on the line. Press star 6, folks, to get in queue. He's got a few more minutes to answer some questions, so let's take the first one.
Yes. Are you able to hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, great. I'm a Southern Baptist. We have an election, and I was wondering about those voter guides for the Southern Baptist Convention. If that could be possible, work with groups. The Southern Baptist Convention is an important election, and it has the convention itself. It is reeking with woke. There are some really horrible things going on. You can look for yourself and inquire about it. And I think we need those voter guides to choose the right leadership.
Wow.
Yes, sir. A couple things there. One is our voter guide is not physical. It's online. Go to ivoterguide.com, ivoterguide.com. And ours is relegated to politics, not to church governance or church denominational issues. So ours is about political races, government offices and so forth. But about what the gentleman's talking about within the Southern Baptist Convention, yes, very important. The largest Protestant group in America, the Southern Baptist Convention. And I remember, you know, Dr. Adrian Rogers was a great friend of my dad's in our ministry, and he and others led efforts in the 70s and the 80s to, you know, keep the Southern Baptist Convention from going woke back then, what you would have called woke back then, or more liberal. And that fight continues for that denomination. I know exactly what he's talking about. I was listening to comments by Andy Stanley the other day, the son of Charles Stanley. And Andy's, I don't know if Andy Stanley's church is a Southern Baptist church or not anymore, but he comes from that background. And I'm sure Andy Stanley's done a lot of wonderful things over his career in ministry, but man, he's trending woke too, on the saying things that really embrace the LGBT lifestyle as somehow compatible with the Bible. I don't know if anybody else has heard those quotes he's made.
Yeah,
but you know, I'm just saying that is a temptation within the especially some of these hipster pastors is what I call them that want to be seen as being I don't know what they want us to be seen as. They just don't want to have any confrontation when it comes to the homosexual issue So they either avoided altogether, which is a problem in and of itself, or worse, they start embracing that lifestyle and,
yeah.
and somehow excusing it, saying that you can somehow find it acceptable in the scripture, and you certainly can't.
Well, look, let me ask you a question, Tim, that a lot of people call and ask me. I'm sure you got some views on it. People say, well, I see all this stuff going on. What can I do? What should I do to try to be a force for turning this situation around?
Well, okay, you invited me on, and I'm going to tell you, you can support American Family Association. That's what
mm-hmm.
you can do.
mm-hmm.
There are other wonderful groups. Support Bishop Jackson and his ministry. But if you want to give a donation to an organization that's going to fight for the same things you are fighting for, and you can see what we're doing, because we tell you all the things that we're doing that are tangible and make a difference. I mentioned the amount of people we're reaching through our voter guide and other things. We don't just talk about it. We do something about it. And so you can go to AFA.net, American Family Association, AFA.net. You can listen to American Family Radio do that. American Family Radio, go to AFR.net. Bishop Jackson's show starts in 36 minutes from now.
I'll be there.
Yeah, you'll be there. AFR.net. We have tens of thousands of people now that are listening on our app, on our American Family Radio app. And, you can support us. You can obviously pray for our country, and you do that every day, Bishop. We encourage that every day in these calls. You can get involved, on a local level. You know, a lot of what happens at the city council or the state legislature or the statewide politics and government. And certainly you can get involved in the party that you want to get involved in. And I know many of us listening right here are involved in the Republican Party and try to influence that, because a lot of, it's a two-party system in our country. You got to pick a team. And then when you get on that team, you got to fight for what's right within that team. There's always a war going on between the rhinos, those who want to say they believe in conservative principles, but then when they get to office, they don't act like it any longer, or they sell out. So we've got to be about electing the kind of people that are going to have, a spine, and are going to do the right thing when they're under pressure.
Before I let you go, Tim, your father started the whole American Family Association, American Family Network, as you said,
yeah.
to respond to some of the stuff that's out here. And, of course, we're watching as horrible things sometimes happen around us. What would you say to encourage people that this situation still can be turned around? Because I've talked to a lot of people. As you know, we get people saying maybe it's time for us to get the pitchforks and the ARs and so forth.
Right.
What would you say to people about seeing the situation turned around?
Well, I think we're human, and sometimes we get frustrated and we get down, and two or three things bad happen in a row, and we go, well, it's over. There's no point in fighting anymore. And then you realize, you know what? You can't have that attitude. You can't. We cannot. That's not God-given. The attitude that we should have is that we do what we can to fight for what's right. We don't always win, but if we give up, if we go home, that's what the godless, I call them God haters. That's what they want. They want our side to quit, to be demoralized, to stop caring. And once you do that, it's just a matter of time before the country collapses morally. I mean, we got our problems right now, but we cannot give up. We can't quit fighting, and we can't keep some of our brothers and sisters say, well, this is what the Bible says about the end times. Things will start to happen and unravel. Yes, that's true. I believe that. But the Bible, the same Bible, talks about how things will get bad in the end times. also says that we are to occupy until Jesus comes back. So we don't know that, you know, the first and second, the great awakenings that took place in America, we don't know that there's not a third one. We don't hold the future in our hands. God does, but God, my dad has a saying too that, again, it's not original with him, but he used it often. He said, God calls us, he would personalize it. He said, God doesn't call me to be successful. He calls me to be faithful.
Amen.
And so we got to keep being faithful. And you know what? As long as we're faithful and we keep fighting, we're going to get some wins along the way. And we are. Look what happened with the Supreme Court. Who would have ever thought we would see the day Roe versus Wade was overturned? I mean, was anybody really thinking that was a possibility after we'd gone since 1973? I'm just giving you, look what happened in the state of Virginia. Virginia was absolutely trending blue, and then boom, here comes three Christian lawmakers that won statewide elections, and you go, wow, you know, wow, look at that. I know you live in Virginia, Bishop, but everybody, we were looking at that going, wow, look what God did in the great state of Virginia, or the great, I guess, the Commonwealth of Virginia.
And we took back the House, too.
Yes, look at that. Look at that. I mean, you know, so as the Bible says, all things are possible with God. So we keep fighting, and we get up every day and we do what's right that day, and then the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, and then ultimately we'll all be in heaven one day, and there won't be any, and there'll be a new Jerusalem here on earth. But we all look forward to that. But until that day, as I said, Jesus says we're to occupy as Christians, so we got to keep on keeping on.
Amen. Tim, thanks for your leadership. Thanks for all you do. I always remind people, you know, no matter how bad you think things are now, imagine what things would be like if there weren't an AFA, if there weren't an AFR. So praise God for you and for all that AFR and American Family Association does to serve this country.
Thank you, brother. I encourage everybody to tune in to the Bishop's show, The Awakening, on American Family Radio in 30 minutes.
All right, Tim. Okay, Tim. Thanks so much.
See ya.
All right. God bless. Folks, a very humble, unassuming man, but I tell you what, he presides over a tremendous ministry that is having great impact. In fact, really, AFR is the only Christian network in America. It's the only one. Let me say a couple words before we go. Several things I want to emphasize to you. One is my new book is out, Sweet Land of Liberty, Reflections of a Patriot Descended from Slaves. You can get the book at faithfultext.com at a 15% discount. That's my publisher's website. The publisher is Fidelis. You can get the book there, faithfultext.com. If you want to support our organization, staying true to America's national destiny, you want to support us as a patriot partner, you can do that by going to our website, standamerica.us, and making a commitment to give us a minimum of $25 a month. I'll send you a free numbered copy of the book. And thank God people have been responding. I forget what we're up to now, somewhere close to 30. But whatever the next number is, you will get it, and you will get my signed thanks for becoming a Patriot partner and supporting us. So you, and by the way, you can get the book anywhere books are sold. Anywhere books are sold. So you can get it at Amazon. You can get it at Books A Million. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. But you can get it at a 15% discount at our publisher's website. So that's number one. Number two, I would ask you all to mark on your schedules now, May the 16th, Tuesday night, May the 16th, at the Marriott, the Tyson's Corner Marriott in Northern Virginia. It's in Tyson's Corner. I think that's McLean, Virginia. But the Tyson's Corner Marriott, we're going to hold our next Stand Awards dinner, and I would invite all of you to come. Put it on your schedule now. Please come out and support us in this effort. We had close to 200 people at the last one we did. In fact, the second one we did, and we hadn't done one, I think, in 2 or 3 years because of COVID. So this is actually going to be our third. We'll be celebrating our 14th year of existence, but it's only going to be our third awards dinner. We'd love to have you all come, and we'll get you more information about that here shortly. But in the meantime, I'm asking you all to save the date, May the 16th, particularly if you're in the area. But even if you aren't, fly on in to be a part of this. Believe me, you won't regret it. And the third thing I want to say to you is this. We are in not only a political battle, we are in a spiritual and cultural battle. And I'm really developing this idea more and more. I talked about it in Dallas, Texas yesterday. We've been talking about this idea more and more because I think the mistake we make is we tend to focus on winning campaigns. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. We ought to win political campaigns, and we ought to do everything we can to win them. But the left is focusing on winning the culture because they know that if you win the culture, you're going to win the campaign. They know that if you get everybody thinking and agreeing with you, election is a no-brainer. That's easy. And that's what the left has been doing. That's what they did in California. That's what they've done in Massachusetts. They've created a university and college system that brainwashes and indoctrinates people to all think the same way. That's what they're trying to do with our public school system. They are trying to change the culture. And to make the culture a Marxist culture, a collectivist culture. And Antonio Gramsci, who you all have heard me talk about before, by the way, just again as an aside, Antonio Gramsci had a major devotee. Of course, he's long been dead. But Joseph Buttigieg founded the International Gramsci Society. Does that name ring a bell? Buttigieg? Yeah. Pete's father. Pete's father was a confirmed communist, taught at Notre Dame, never called to account for it, but he was a confirmed communist and follower of Antonio Gramsci. Antonio Gramsci was a communist who believed you overthrow a culture like America, a free nation, a capitalist nation, not with bullets and bombs, but by subverting its values and changing the hearts and minds of the people from within. And so you subvert the culture. He called it cultural hegemony. You change the cultural hegemony from one thing to another thing. And folks, that's what the left is systematically trying to do. They're trying to alter the nature of our culture. And they've made a lot of headway at it, and they've got a lot of institutions working with them for it. We have got to have political leaders, congressmen, senators, school board members, city councilors, county supervisors and commissioners who understand we are in a cultural battle and are not ashamed to put it all on the line to stand up for America as a Judeo-Christian culture. If we don't do that, we're going to lose it anyway because we can't campaign simply on enough. I mean, we saw 44 House Republicans voted for the Respect for Marriage Act and 12 senators. I mean, these are supposed to be conservatives, and they're voting for this stuff. And I think it's not just because they don't agree with us. It's because they don't understand the nature of the battle we're in. We are in a cultural battle. And in politics, you really can compromise on policy. But in a cultural battle, you can't compromise on culture. Because the moment you do, you never get it back. I mean, so think about this. They're trying to create a culture in which husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, marriage as a two-parent monogamous institution with a male and a female is not the cultural norm. It's not. It's just one of a number of expressions. And that marriage itself is not the cultural norm. You can live together without benefit of marriage. You can shack up with four or five different people and all they having sex. Anything goes. They're trying to change our culture. And see, part of what these politicians and even our judges don't understand, they're often being presented with cases that are not simply intended to change the law, but that are intended to change the culture. Obergefell changed the culture of our country. That's why we've got teachers thinking they should teach 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds about their sexuality and their gender identity. Because they opened the floodgates with that Supreme Court decision and essentially
legitimized homosexuality from the highest court and said this is good and right and normal and we're going to all recognize it and honor it. But that wasn't American culture. American culture always tolerated homosexuality. Now, of course, there were some bullies and people who would mistreat folks on the basis of that. But Americans always recognized that people had a right to live their own lives however they saw fit and respected human beings as human beings. But we understood that marriage is for men and women. And we used to understand, you all remember this? We used to believe that shacking up was living in sin. I mean, even people who didn't go to church believed that. And now we celebrate shacking up. It's, oh, you're moving in. Oh, you're living together. Oh, what, how wonderful. Those are changes in the culture. See, and culture is not the same as law. Breitbart said, politics, which means law, is downstream from culture. And I would argue that culture is downstream from the spirituality of a nation. I'm going to be talking on my podcast, E.W. Jackson for America, about what American culture is. What are the principles of American culture? Because I don't think we take enough time to think about the fact that American culture is really unique on a number of levels. But it really is a culture all its own. And we can't allow people to subvert it or destroy it or alter it. Because the moment they do, everything else follows. And we go from being a constitutional republic to being some kind of totalitarian, tyrannical nation rooted and grounded in atheism and secularism. And so I want you all to be thinking about that issue because I think our politicians don't understand it. And I think most conservatives don't really understand it and haven't really thought about it. But it's ultimately the culture that we're fighting to save. And by the way, I'll end with this. What is the number one principle of American culture? The number one principle of American culture is there is a God to whom we are all accountable, and he is the final arbiter of what is moral and what is not. You say, well, how can you say that that's a founding principle of American culture? Because it's enunciated in the Declaration of Independence, that rights and liberties come from him. But if liberty comes from him, then restrictions on our liberty are the restrictions that he says are not consistent with liberty. That's the number one principle of American culture. And that's the number one thing the left is going after. So next time we meet, I'm going to share a little bit more about that. But you all be thinking about that because if we understand that, we understand we've got to be fighting between elections, not just during elections, but between elections, because that's what lays the groundwork for succeeding when election time comes. Well, listen, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you all for staying in the fight, staying in the battle. Don't ever even consider not doing that. For your sake, for the sake of your children, your grandchildren, for the sake of our posterity, we got to stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side.